Title of our message today is A Growing Appetite for Food Lovers. And we're looking at Bible study rules. And I want to begin this message today by sharing some verses from Isaiah, Deuteronomy, Proverbs, and 2 Peter, and all have one common theme. And that common theme is revelation. Revelation. We're going to talk about a topic called progressive revelation. So, if you see the book, eat this book. So here, let me read these verses to you up here on the screen. Starting off in Isaiah 46, verse 9. Just Isaiah's from the NIV. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. And then Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And then over in Proverbs, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And then 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. My goal today is to take these verses, meld them together, and show you a theme here that's found. You know, we've talked about last week about how the Bible is line upon line, precept upon precept, here, there, and little, here a little, there a little. And so we're following through that in our Bible study and looking at these rules. So let's pray this morning. God, as we open your word, as always, we give you all praise and glory. You've made every moment of our lives possible. Thank you for those here today that know Christ as Savior. Thank you for revealing Him to us through your word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And now, as we've heard that word, our goal, as long as we live on earth, is to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, today, speak to us, show us as we go into your word and delve into it deeper, ways that we can grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're so grateful that we can be here. Many who could not be here today are absent from us. We hope you will bring back soon. As always, we pray for new people, new lives to touch. Lord, help us to be faithful to you, knowing that one day we will stand before you and give an account of what we did with our lives. Now today, open our eyes and ears of understanding that we might receive and share in that wonderful promise that your word will not return void. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, we are looking at, again, been trying to encourage since the first of the year. I hope you get in the Word. You know, I had my cousin that I talked to yesterday. She's 62 years old. I call her the ageless one because she doesn't seem to age. And she said that she spends 45 minutes to an hour in prayer every day. And she told me here, when we were at a funeral together a couple of years ago, that she prays for me and Carolyn every day. And I tell you what, nothing touched my heart like that. And so I appreciated that very much. And so we're trying to get, again, everyone in the Word, to get in the Word. Don't treat it as fast food. You know, get into it, break it down, divide it up. We've looked at some rules, and I just want to go back, and we're not going to go back to the beginning. As we draw to the end, we'll do that. But, of course, rule number one, he's got to be born again. I mean, that's first and foremost. But we've talked about how all of the Bible is about Jesus. The Bible has to be read. Not only has to be read, it has to be interpreted. And then a text, you take a text and isolate it, and you turn it into a con job. You take it out of context. And then last week, we looked at the Bible is the best explanation of itself. Again, you go a verse here and a verse there. It tells you what these things mean, what verses mean, and you see that, and as we're going to look at today, there is a progressive revelation in the Bible. And I want to give you a definition of that right up front to begin this. It's not complicated. It simply put is the unfolding of God's revelation. In other words, we got 66 books. And everything he doesn't want us to know is in Genesis, all right? So each book reveals something else that we need to learn. You know that fact, that word revelation, apocalyptus. We get the English word, deviation of that, is apocalypse. You know, they made a movie, Apocalypse Now, and that word has become kind of popular in English vernacular. And it simply just means an unveiling. An unveiling. And I want to show you a picture up here on the screen of an unveiling, all right? Now, this happened to be, and I just searched for one in Google search. And this was Lady Diana. And here are her two sons. And what happened often, when they dedicated the Marlins Perkins statue there in the park, all right? The person who made that, all right? And put that together. And of course, we know that Our Lady from our church, her husband was instrumental in that. They have an unveiling. What they do is they cover it up with a canvas, and they have people come together, and they'll have a little speech, and they'll have a little drawstring, all right? And they'll pull that drawstring as they're doing here. You can, in fact, see these boys with the drawstring as they're pulling and revealing that statue. Well, I hope that'll create in you a word picture of what revelation means, all right? In fact, what it simply means, you know, when you unveil something is what it was once veiled, it was once covered up, and now it's unveiled. It was once hidden, and now it's revealed, all right? And we have, of course, the book of Revelation. Revelation, in fact, if you'll show that, Brother Aaron, Revelation chapter 1 begins that way. The unveiling. The revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, notice, things which must shortly take place. So the book of Revelation is about the unveiling of Jesus. What have we talked about? All the Bible is about Jesus. So the revelation simply means, you know, the unfolding drama, narrative of Jesus, pulling back the curtain, pulling the drawstring, pulling the canvas away to show us, in this instance, things which will eventually come. And of course, we know the Bible uses the term veil when it talks about Jesus. When he came, he was veiled, he was covered in flesh. And therefore, the disciples, the followers, people on planet Earth could not see him in all his majesty and all his glory. And only one time when he was on the earth, we call it the transfiguration, did he give a little glimpse of how bright and glorious the Lord Jesus Christ was as he revealed himself there. Oh, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration. And of course, that took place where he took that little inner circle of three disciples and apostles there and revealed himself in all of his glory. Now, one day he's coming back, and he's coming back at his second coming in all his glory, and the veil will be taken away permanently, and he will come back, and that veil will be torn away. In fact, in Revelation, Jesus is revealed, all right? And he's the one who's doing the revealing. Now, as I want to show you up here on the screen, the whole Bible is Jesus being revealed. And he's the one doing the revealing. The whole Bible is God's revelation, not just the book of Revelation. So you begin in the scriptures, and you begin a little bit at a time, and you begin to see things. And if you would, go back to the first time that you began to learn about the Lord. And the first time you began to open the Bible, and you began to study the Bible and learn things, it was like, again, like learning in school. We learned a little bit at a time in that process. Now, I want to say to you, the Bible tells us there are some things we will never know. Some people get all shook up about, well, you know, one of these days I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to know all. I'm going to know why this happened. I'm going to know why this person died. I'm going to know why this happened. I'm going to know why that happened. Well, maybe you won't. And maybe it won't matter. You ever think of that? Because you're going to be a different person. You're going to be like Jesus. In fact, I go back to that verse that I began with, quoted from earlier in Deuteronomy. Notice it says something very important to us. Don't miss out on this verse. And it's an easy one to remember. Deuteronomy 29:29, all right? It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. All right? Secret things. Now, there's some secret things going on right now that he's going to reveal. One of the things, remember, Jesus said, the hour of his coming, no one knows. Now, that hadn't stopped a lot of fools from trying to say they knew. But he said, no one knows. The angels don't know. Only my Father. So there are some secret things that are eventually going to be revealed. But there are some things that will never be revealed. But notice, it's twofold. But those things which are revealed... Notice, we have a responsibility that belongs to us. That belongs to those who are his followers, or his disciples, who are Christians, and our children forever, that we may, why does he want us to know these things? So we will obey. So we will follow them. The Bible was written to common folk. He's not trying to muddy up the waters. Pastors and teachers and preachers and individuals are the one that muddy the water up. He is the one, all right? He wants us to know these things that we would do them. That we would do them. So we always need to keep that into consideration. Why is he giving us the word? Not just for instruction, but for to implement them, to do them, all right? Now, let me take that word progressive. Progressive. Let's think about progressive. In life, it all began with us in learning progressively. Every one of us, in fact. I mean, we learn things gradually, increasingly. You know, it's like being taught as a child. How do we learn to walk? We just don't come out of the womb walking, do we? We're a completely helpless child, and then what? Praise the Lord when it happens. We begin again to exercise those leg muscles. They begin to develop, and we go from crawling to standing to finally, look, Ma, I'm walking, all right? And we, oh, look. I mean, some it's faster than others, but it's a process. It's a progression that takes place. And then what about eating? We began as children eating with our hands, all right? And then eventually we graduate to a spoon. And then eventually we graduate to a fork. And then eventually we graduate to a knife and a fork. And eventually we graduate to chopsticks, amen? All of those things, all right? And then, what about food itself? Well, we start out with milk, right? And then we graduate to baby food or Pablum. And then eventually, of course, we get to eat the big people food, all right? That'll kill us, all right? So, and then what about learning? Learning, All right? We learn the letters of the alphabet, and then we learn to bring those letters and put them together, and hey, we make a word. And it's so wonderful when you see children begin to do this and begin to understand, and then we begin to what? Make complete sentences. We looked at fun and with Dick and Jane last week. You know, we go from run, spot, run, run, Dick, run, you know, chase the ball and all that stuff. And then, does our education stop when we get out of school or when we graduate? You know, many people have jobs where they have what? On-the-job training or continuing education classes. Some of them they do have to do in the summertime. Some of them they have to update, you know, continually educating themselves as things change and if their jobs change. So there's a progressive revelation regarding us as individuals on our jobs, but there's also in the Word of God. And I want to begin number one I want to share with you this morning. And these are very simple outline today. God's progressive revelation comes through information. All right? Information. I want you to notice something God says here in Isaiah again, chapter 46. And I got a couple of different translations, excuse me. For I am God and there's no other. I am God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And then that NIV, and I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known from the end, the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Now notice some things here that God reveals about himself. I'm unique, only one God. I'm God. And here's something key. You're not. We use that term a lot, but there's a lot of truth to that. Because notice he says, not only is there no one like me, but what I do, I'm going to do, and you're not going to tell me what to do. All right? I'm the boss. I'm the master. All right? I'm the potter. Okay? There's no one like me. I'll make known, you know, the end from the beginning from the end. What we know right now, we wouldn't know except God tells us. And again, my promotion to you today is always in your progressive education and revelation. Stay in the Word just like you do as a person. Don't stop growing. Don't stop learning, because if we stop learning, we begin to shrivel up and die, see? Notice, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Now that's a verse again that we need to stop and consider when we're going through some of those trials. Lord, why are we going through this? Why is this happening to me? Why we've got people right now, we've had a scattering and a smattering of prayer requests today covering all kind of gamuts of life, needs and things. Thank God that people wanted help. They ask for our prayers, and I hope you'll write their name down, their need down. We saw a good revelation this morning regarding Gary's daughter, Genevieve. So praise the Lord, we've seen again God answering prayer, but still some issues to go. But in this progressive revelation that God gives us, we're not going from error to truth. We're just going from the fact that we're going from incompleteness to completeness, all right? I want you to see up here on the screen, in fact, something I wanted to lay on your heart. Later revelation interprets earlier revelation. In other words, what we read in Genesis, we'll find more what it means maybe even in the last book of the Bible, which we'll touch on later. The New Testament interprets the Old Testament. And I love this little quote here, and I don't know who it came from, but it was very wise. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. And that's so very, very true. How we got the Bible, how God reveals itself. Now, here's something interesting in God's progressive revelation of things. Sometimes he takes a long time to show us something. You know, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked the face of the earth. And we read in the Bible there. In fact, if you read some of those letters, they'll talk about Jesus coming back. Jesus is coming back. In fact, one of the last prayers is, you know, Lord, come quickly. Well, wait a minute, 2,000 years. Well, I want to share a verse with you in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. You know how long it took God to have his son come? 4,000 years. 4,000 years from Adam to him sending his son. 4,000. So we might have two more thousand years before he comes. I don't know. Again, we are to live like he could come at any moment. All right? Any moment. And that is very, very true. But what I'm saying here is, you know, God's fullness of time and our fullness of time sometimes, well, they call them waiting rooms for a reason, all right? They're not a lot of fun, all right? So we need to be very careful. You know, many times God is just trying to teach us patience. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, I want you to see, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Blessed are those who wait for him. And a lot of the people we described again this morning that we need to pray for, they're in that waiting period. All right. Some of them might be in, like, to use a sports vernacular, in overtime. All right. Sudden death overtime. Okay. So waiting. Now, in regards to this progressive revelation, I want to show you a real quick example that sometimes some of the most difficult Bible doctrines and studies are revealed over the whole 66 books of the Bible. We can't just go to one verse and say, well, here it is. An example I want to give to you and share with you real quickly is Trinity. Is the word Trinity is not even found in the Bible. But the doctrine is, and I know out there, we don't have anyone who would dare try to teach the Trinity in a Bible class, or particularly to young people or anything like that. They would never try to do something like that, because that would be one of the most difficult topics that you could ever try to learn. So I know nobody here would ever try to do that. But it is, and I'm poking somebody right now, just teasing them. But I want you to see something about this very thing. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we have the first reference to something that, now wait a minute, what is going on? And God said, let us. He didn't say, let me. He said, let us. That's the first revelation. Make man in our, all right, there again, our image, after likeness. Now, the word in Hebrew for God there, Elohim or Elohim, depending on, you know, if your pronunciation, and I've heard it pronounced either way, but probably people that didn't know how to pronounce it right and someone that did. But anyway, that word itself is a plural. Is a plural. So, well, that's a head scratcher. What are we introduced to? Let me go on to Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. We read here, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. All right, the Lord says to my Lord. Lord says, notice, I declare, thou art my son. All right, we got a little bit more information. Then let me go to Psalm 51 and verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. All right, now we're introduced, a little bit about this Holy Spirit. And again, notice capitalized spirit, not the human spirit, but the Spirit of God. Again, we're looking at earlier revelation leads to latter revelation. Well, I get into the New Testament, for instance, in Romans chapter 1 in verse 7, and I read, well, the Father is God. The Father. Now, again, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. All right? The Father is God. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are other verses that refer to that. I'm just cherry picking here. But then I go to John 1. John 1 and verse 1. And I see here that the Son is God. All right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right. That's speaking of Jesus. Jesus, and of course, Jesus referred to himself. He said, I'm the great I am, and right on down the line, you know. Well, then I go over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, and I see the Holy Spirit is God. All right? The Holy Spirit is God. Peter said to Ananias, and I heard Marlon talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Ananias, and notice, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself while it remained? Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You notice, you have not lied to men, but to God. Now notice up here, it says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Down here it says, you lied to God. Hey, connect the dots. God, the Holy Spirit. Well, the Trinitarian formula when we baptize someone. Who are we to baptize people in? In the name of what? The Father? No. Son? No. Holy Spirit? No. All three. Not one. But all three, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, finally, in 1 John 5 and verse 7, and this, and I want to say up front, this is a verse that's not found in some of the earlier manuscripts of the Greek language, of our Greek New Testament, excuse me. It says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These are one. All right, these three are one. And there, of course, we get the idea of the Trinity, three in one. Now, progressive revelation is not the evolution of a doctrine. In other words, I want to say something real quick. You know, a seed, you take an acorn, it's got everything that that tree is going to become, that oak tree is going to become in that seed. It doesn't evolve. It's all right there in the beginning. You take that on any seed. It's all right there. So again, I share this with you regarding the progressive revelation of one example of instruction. That brings me to a second point, all right? And that is God's progressive revelation comes through illustration. Notice this verse, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, again, here's a verse from Proverbs telling us that we learn things about God in stages. And he compares it, an illustration. Imagine if you're out, let's say you're out camping, and it's late, and it's in the morning, and it's pitch black, all right? Let's say it's an overcast night, stars are covered, the moon's not shining, and you can't see very good at all. It's one of them real dark nights, all right? And so you begin to walk a path, but you can't really, you're kind of groping in the darkness. But as the sun comes up, you begin to see things. The trees, all the, you realize, hey, there's a tree, there's a bush there, and you begin to what? As it goes further, it crystallizes more. You can see the leaves, you can see the limbs, you can see all of these things, you know. It begins to brighten until finally, the perfect day when the sun rises, all right, and you can see fully and completely, you can see things you couldn't see previously. You can see things you couldn't see at 5 o'clock in the morning. You see these things. Now, in relationship to this, let me share an illustration from my own life. There was a time in my life when I, as a Christian, was groping in the darkness because I didn't know what God's will was for my life. All right? I did not get saved until I was in my early 20s, 21 years old, all right? So I had sowed my wild oats and did my thing, and around the same time I'd met my wife, and we got married, and I got saved just about a couple of months before we got married, all right, back in 19... And anyway, I got to going to church, and we found a new church, and that's where we really got our feet wet, in a church that was just starting out, that's still in existence today. And anyway, we got our feet wet, and I became to our pastor got up and resigned one morning. And he was the man that baptized me, and I thought, well, I don't even know what's going on in this church, and there he's leaving. It just doesn't make sense. And we went out and had coffee together, and unfortunately, he explained to me some of the ugly side of churches sometimes when they're not really following the Lord's will as they should, and so on and so forth. But anyway, I made a determination then. I'm going to get involved in church. I just don't want to just go and not know what's going on and not know if somebody else just gets up and resigns. So I got involved and began to serve, and I became a deacon. Well, in becoming a deacon, one particular Sunday, the pastor at the church wasn't going to be there, and he asked me to fill in. So I got my feet wet a little bit. And I was intimidated, and I had, you know, didn't come from any preaching family. My parents did not encourage or discourage me. No preachers in the family, none that I'm aware of, you know. So here I was, and I wasn't someone that was just, hey, yippee, I get to stand in front of a bunch of people and talk. But I had people come along and encourage me that first time. They kind of lit a fire. Again, it was dark, and now the sun's starting to come up a little bit. Well, then I went to Bible college, and the sun got a little bit brighter, and I had more of a desire to get in the Word, okay? And we happened to leave that church that we were a part of and went to another church where the pastor there was very, very encouraging to me. That's where I was ordained, and I started going out where I didn't know anybody and nobody knew me, and that's when it really gets intimidating. But the Lord placed people in my life who come along who didn't know me, so they weren't just buttering me up to make me feel good. They would come along and said, hey, you know, you feel like you got the gift, or have you thought about doing this? So anyway, here the sun's really starting to come up. And I remember when at my ordination as a minister, one of the deacons there that I'd served with said, well, did you make a mistake being a deacon, being ordained as a deacon? And I want to tell you what, I didn't want to go through two ordinations, but I did. But anyway, I said, well, no, I just feel like, again, the path shined a little lighter. More and more light. All right. Shine it. Like Brother Matt and family. Matt, you know, Dad was a preacher, but he went for several years. Matt's, you know, in his mid-30s. Didn't really know God's calling. Didn't really. And now, of course, he's been encouraged in that. And how do you discover God's will? Listen. Watch. He'll begin to reveal more and more things. I know AJ is trying to figure out, again, where does God want me to minister, as Matt was trying to figure out, where does God want me to minister? Well, I go over to Psalm 119, and a couple of verses I want to share with you. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Hold up my goings in your paths, that my foot slip. Steps slip not. In other words, once he starts to reveal it, stay on the path. There are a lot of things to discourage you. I still deal with them. Still deal with them. But I want to share something up on the screen that I think is so very, very important. All right? The light received increases the light. All right? You start covering your eyes up. You start getting out of the Word. All right? You quit growing. You quit maturing. The light refused increases darkness. That's why a lot of people are walking in darkness. And that's why a lot of people who used to be in church aren't in church anymore. They let somebody come into their life and steal away not only their faith in essence, but steal away their testimony. And now they're on the wayside. And again, I live in glass house. All right, I've been through that myself back before, long before I ever became a deacon or a pastor, in the realization that it's so likely can happen. Vance Havner said, a man is judged not on the basis of how much sin he commits, but on the basis of how much light he rejects. And that is so very, very true. What did we do with what God gave to us? All right. You know, and John, over in John, the Bible says, and this is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Why don't people come to Christ? Why don't people get into the Word? Why don't people listen to their friends and acquaintances and family who are trying to save them, lead them to Christ? Because they'd rather what? Live in darkness? Because they like their evil. They like their sin. And again, don't think of evil as going out and shooting somebody. Think of evil in the fact of loving your sin more than you love God. Loving your lifestyle more than you love God. Loving, in essence, darkness more than you love light. And that's why he says, everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And I thank God my deeds were exposed. And I thank God when it happened. And when I saw the light, I didn't huddle back to the darkness as some that I did know did. But I wanted more and more light, and as more and more light increases, again, our capabilities increase to know Him. And that leads me to my third and final thing this morning, and that is progressive revelation comes through illumination. This verse here is a mouthful and a head full and a lot to divide up in one verse. And I want to do it as quickly as I possibly can. Here, notice, here Peter says, and we have the prophetic word confirmed. Let me say up front, that is the Word of God, the whole Word of God, not just the books of prophecy. We have, in fact, I believe it's the KJV, and I'm using here the New King James. I believe the KJV says a more sure word of prophecy. Notice, which you do well to heed, all right? That is the seesaw. That is where we'll go one way or another. That's where we'll still, even after we become Christians, we're going to obey or disobey. And if we disobey, we'll stay in the darkness. The more we obey, the more the light increases. But notice, do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Now here's a Living Translation, which is a thought for thought translation of the Bible, not a word for word. But notice it says, you must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your heart. Now, I found it interesting that a lot of people that I really respect said that this is just talking about Jesus' second coming. Now, I believe two things can be true at the same time. I believe, again, there's one interpretation and many applications, and so I'm not throwing stones at any of them. But I found something that when I first read this, I didn't see that at all. And I found somebody who confirmed what I saw. And it was somebody I very much respected. What, to me, he's talking about here is when sunshine comes into your soul, when you get saved. All right. I just talked from Proverbs about how, you know, the light comes on. And even when the will of God is revealed to your life, as you get more and more and grow in your grace and knowledge of Christ, that more and more light is given to you. And you begin to understand, what is God's will for me? Notice here, he says, our heart to me, you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. What is the dark place? Well, I tell you what the dark place is. It's the human heart. In fact, Aaron's got that verse there in Jeremiah that tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? All right? Our heart is a dark place. A dark place. All right? So what needs to happen? I go back to that verse that we were just looked at. Until the day dawns. Till the day dawns. Until the sun comes up, until we see the light, until we have the epiphany. And who is the morning star? Well, we sang about him today. In fact, I want you to see over in Revelation chapter 22. Yeah, will you go over to Revelation? It's there with 1 Peter 1:19, Revelation 22:16. Don't have it. All right. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16 tells us, and let me read it to you. I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. How do we find out who the morning star is? We let Scripture interpret Scripture. And what does Revelation tell us who that is? It's Jesus. You sang about him today. You sang about him today. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, all right? Jesus is the morning star, the Bible tells us. We also sang a hymn today that describes this sunlight bursting through. Heavenly sunlight. Notice, flooding my soul. That's the description here Peter's given. It's flooding my soul. It's like sun. You know, you don't want to look right into the sunlight. But again, the light comes on. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. And notice, flooding my soul with glory divine. That is, flooding my soul with the presence of the glory of God. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. Mine, all right? Now, let me go back to my original premise I mentioned a while ago. These verses can also describe Jesus' coming back, all right? It's going to be like the morning star coming, all right? And we know the Scriptures tell us that's going to happen at any moment, imminent return of Christ, all right? And he's going to come as a thief at an hour he said you're not aware of, all right? And when he comes again, it's going to be a surprise revelation, all right? His glory is going to be unveiled and his power is going to be unleashed. In fact, in Luke chapter 21, the Bible says, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, let me give a final illustration before we wrap up, all right? I heard a true story about a surprise revelation. A defendant was on trial for murder. And there was strong evidence indicating his guilt. But there, as is the case in so often, there was no corpse, all right? So, his defense lawyer, knowing that his client would probably be convicted, resorted to a trick, he thought. The lawyer said, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a surprise revelation for you. Within 1 minute, the person presumed dead in this case that you're saying my client is responsible for taking his life, is going to walk into this courtroom. All right? So the lawyer turned and began to look at the doors, like double doors that we have there. All right? And he watched the jury as they looked. All right? And everyone waited. And a minute passed and nothing happened. And then the lawyer stopped and he said, actually, I made up that previous statement. But ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I watched you and you looked. So I submit to you that you have a reasonable doubt about my client. So I want to leave that with you as you go to your deliberation regarding the guilt of my client. So they dismissed the case dismissed the jury to go and deliberate the case. And the jury came back in, all right? Short time later, the jury returned and had the bailiff read the verdict, and he said, guilty! And the lawyer protested, and he said, how can you find my client guilty? I watched you. You had doubt. I saw you. I saw you stare at that door. And the jury foreman responded and said, yes, we all looked, but your client didn't look. Okay? Now, All right? The Bible tells us there's going to be another surprise revelation. And it's a real scary one. And it's one like that one where someone that thinks they're going to get off, or someone thinks they know something, and they're going to find out they don't. And this is what I want to leave you with today in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, a familiar passage from the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say, notice, not a few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? But notice, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. You talk about a revelation. They're going to die thinking, I got it made. Oh, did you hear that sermon that pastor preached down there? He talked, oh man, but I'm not in heaven, all right? I'm going to the other place, all right? I was a liar. I was a fake. I was a fraud. I told everyone I knew the Lord, but I didn't know him. And the key is, the reason I didn't know him is because he never knew me. See, it's not just do you know the Lord, but does the Lord know you? All right? You know, it's well been said about heaven. There's going to be people there where we're really going to be surprised maybe that they're there, and others that, where are they? You know, there's been a few hymns. I searched heaven looking for you, all right? I never knew you. What a surprise revelation that's going to be. Will you stand with us this morning as we conclude our time together in this message?